Impression that are you all local? Mostly from Bedford? Yes? No? Where are you from then? Warwickshire. So we've got a few from away. Well, we used to have, well, my family was always spread all over the country, and we used to have one family gathering a year when I was growing up, and we went to Harpenden, where Uncle Fred and Auntie Elsie lived in what seemed to be a very large house. We'd go every Whit Monday. Uncle George and Auntie Winnie came down from Huddersfield. Aunties Millie and Helen from London and us from Birmingham. And in those days, this was the 1950s, Birmingham to Harpenden seemed a very long journey, no motorways or anything. And lots of others who I hardly knew. I knew the aunties, Millie and Helen, best of all. When I was 12, I stayed with them for a week or so in London. They were two maiden aunts. They were very kind. They took me to the ceremony of the keys at the Tower, Hampton Court maze, Madame Tussauds, and they took me to the Oval, where we saw Lock and Laker bowl Warwickshire out twice in half a day. Well, yeah, we did. I mean, Warwickshire's batting that day seemed to be worse than England's at the moment, but never mind. There were, though, two rather hairy moments. You know, I was 12. One morning they presented me with this bowl of potatoes to peel. There was a slight problem, of course, that I'd never peeled potatoes in my life before, but I felt I ought to have a go, and I think I sort of managed roughly. And then we went out into their garden to weed. Now, their flower beds, now our back garden was something like a yard, you know, we're growing a few lupins and that was about all, but three big ash trees next door meant the soil wasn't very good. Anyway, they took me out to weed, and again there was a slight problem there that I really didn't know very clearly the difference between weeds and flowers. And that didn't last very long. They sort of thought that they'd be safer if I went in, I think. They came to see us most Christmases. They were quite fun. They wore fur coats, which impressed me. They kept Dad in a good mood, which was a big plus. They were very, very clean. Cleanliness was important to them. So their stocking fillers that they gave us always included face flannels and bath salts. We never used the bath salts. Actually, Peter, my older brother, was talking to over Christmas. He said, well, it was a bit of a pain when they came because they used to bath him and the bath would always foam, so I presume he drew the short straw. But I never, ever saw what bath salts did to a bath. As far as I was concerned, the bath salts were put in a drawer and then during the year they disintegrated and we'd throw them out and wait till the aunties came next Christmas when we'd get further bath salts. But it was quite fun. They were good people. Of course, if they'd come to live with us permanently, I suspect it would have been very different. I think Mum would have been driven round the bend. Because if someone comes to live with you, it has major implications, doesn't it? And that's the message of Christmas, that God in Christ has come to stay with us. He's moved in to share everything. Now, how we react to that depends rather on what he's like. I mean, I don't think we'd welcome him if we knew that he'd come to pick holes in our lives and to be sort of judgmental and everything. But there's a Christian humorous writer called Adrian Plass who wrote this. God is nice and he likes me. He goes on, I want people to know that God loves them so that they can serve him with a glad heart. God must be at least as nice as my mother, perhaps even a little nicer. And his grace inhabits that wonderfully mellow country that lies between the craggy rocks of being told off and the deceptive swamps of being let off. Seems to me that's his take on John saying in his gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his son. And then goes on to say that God didn't send his son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour. Because you see, Christmas says to us that God comes in love and so offers to fulfil two of our deepest needs. And I reckon that two of our deepest needs are to be loved and to be accepted. And that's what God does. He loves us and accepts us all. He loved the whole world. Don't ask me how he can do that for over 7 billion people in the world, because I haven't a clue. I presume that's because he's God and he can cope with 7 billion people of knowing them and loving them and accepting them. There's a modern worship song that says, "For each child is special, accepted and loved." Actually, that's, of course, what we pray for Jacob today with that lovely smile on his face. We do, don't we? Because he's very special. And we pray that he'll be accepted and loved by his parents and family, no matter what, all the days of his life. And we pray that for all the family as well. And, you know, I believe that this knowing that we're accepted and loved by God, and since he was rejected, he knows the pain of that. So he's never actually going to choose to reject us, because he knows what a hell that is. But this knowing that he loves us and accepts us radically changes our view of ourselves in the world. It really does, I think. I reckon a lot of the hurt, the division, the anger and the hatred goes out the window if we receive this message of Christmas. It can be liberating and transforming. And actually it happens here, you know. Not just in the leaflets, not just in reading in the baptism leaflet or saying we welcome you, but actually in reality. I'm not going to pretend that this place is the perfect church, because somebody once said if you find the perfect church, don't join it, because it won't be perfect once you've joined it. But I've been coming here for over 6.5 years. And I can tell you, the congregation might not all agree, I can tell you that you won't be pressured, you won't be badgered, you won't be made to feel guilty. There's no party line here. You're not told what to believe or think. And there's nothing over the top to make you cringe. At least I don't think there is. I mean, I've been coming for 6.5 years, so I usually expect me to be fairly happy here, because I don't see any point in going to a church or any group of people that meets regularly if you can't stand it and if you're not happy. Nothing worse than being a miserable member of something, always grumbling. You ought to go somewhere else, you know, where you can feel at home, where you can feel loved and accepted. Because here, there is love and acceptance on offer. Even to me, a fan of Peterborough United. I've got the scarf to prove it. You're lucky I'm here today. Carlisle away was a bit too far to go, you know. But yes, so the mighty posh, who managed to lose on Boxing Day and make me in a very bad mood. But there you are. They even accept me here. And actually, a few years ago, when we won promotion, I got a phone call from one of the leadership team just after the football results had been on the Saturday to say how pleased he was. And I thought that was an incredibly nice, unexpected touch. And when I got a chest infection recently, which you can probably, I don't normally have this gravelly, lovely, deep, sexy voice, but and I got a chest infection recently, I got phone calls, not too many. You don't want to be inundated with them, do you? I got one from Charlie, because I'd left him a message, and he got back to me saying, "You did sound rough. Are you still with us?" I thought that was fairly good. But I had a couple of insistent ones from two ladies in the church who said, "You sound as if he's gone to your chest. For goodness sake, go and get checked out." One of them rang up specially to say that. I thought I'd better do it, and it was a chest infection, and so I got checked out. But really, you feel you belong here and you can be yourself. I think it's a good plus. And you'll find love and acceptance here at work every Wednesday in a remarkable way. There's open house. You can see the leaflets. It was relaunched about 3 years ago, and it's for people with learning difficulties will be especially welcome. Everybody, it says, are welcome. People are free to meet and make friends in a relaxed environment. Well, since it was relaunched about 3 years ago, Cheryl has accepted and loved all those who come. It is remarkable. Birthdays are celebrated, new shares, and their lives somehow sparkle. Some of them have become different people. And I'm not making this up. There are others who can tell me. A couple now come early to help get things ready. One or two who never actually communicated, who never said a word, are now happy to talk. One of them came in after we'd had the communion group on a Wednesday morning to share with us contents of a letter. You know, she was so anxious that we should know that. Their potential is being achieved because they feel valued, because they're being loved and accepted. And when there was children in need a couple of months ago, they raised £400, and this is a group of fewer than 20. And the atmosphere of sheer delight as they manned the tombola and everything else was incredibly moving. I can't put it any other way than that. You know, this activity is proving that love and acceptance can change everything. They don't get preached at, but there's this atmosphere of love in the meeting that I haven't experienced, I don't think, anywhere else. It really can change everything. And that's what God offers you and me today as the best foundation for life that there is. In the Christmas story, it's great good news of great joy for all people that you and I, ordinary people that we are loved and accepted by God. Not just for Christmas, but every day of the whole of our lives. And we pray that all of us will experience and discover that more and more for ourselves.